It's time for Power Hour.
I love your energy that you bring every day.
The IrishSportsDaily.com podcast covering the Fighting Irish throughout the year.
You know why I love it? Because you love football.
Visit IrishSportsDaily.com now to sign up for a premium subscription.
This is a football family.
And now, your Power Hour host.
The guy has a lot of ability.
Mike Frank.
Like Hainsey and Banks, having that extra spring, having that extra time in the weight room, how much of an advantage is that for those guys?
I think it's definitely a help for them. It's in the end, I don't think it's that much different. I think what helps them most is the balance between school and football, and they'll gain probably about 4 months of training and over the other guys, but the other guys are working hard too. But where they gain a little bit more, in my opinion, is the balance of how do I deal with school, knowing where I'm going, knowing how to complete the assignments, and the academic part combined with the working out is where they gain the most, I think. So when they hit the fall, they're more experienced at functioning on the Notre Dame campus in class, and then coming over to football. The other guys physically will train hard, but there's no training for that. You can't do anything off, when you're back in high school that mimics really what you're going to be doing on a daily basis academically here. So they'll gain a little bit there.
What is a typical Harry Heistand, I guess, selling point? When you're recruiting guys, what is your selling pitch? Because I think offensive linemen are different. They don't usually like to be coddled and that type of thing. What is your typical pitch? What do you tell them?
Well, some of them do, and those guys usually don't fit real well here. So the number one thing is that this is a awesome university, and this university is going to bring out the best in you. And if you truly want an education, and everybody says they want, what's most important to you? Well, getting a great degree in education, and then they pick a school that doesn't have a great, the same level of education. So trying to get them to be truthful about what's really important to you. If you really want a great education, you really want to be challenged academically every day and in football, then this is the place for you. So I think when that to me is the number one thing, that the University of Notre Dame is a great fit for certain kids and that have those things in their mind, that this is what I really want. And when they see it, then that usually connects.
When watching the film of these guys this year and last year, the first thing jumps out to me is just how physical they are in the run game. Is that your first starting point when you're looking at players, is they have to be physical? Doesn't matter how well they move, they just got to be physical players.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it doesn't matter how well they move, but if they don't play a physical style of football, then we're probably not watching it for very long. And then, so once we see that they do embrace the physical nature of the game, now we're watching for opportunities to say, are they athletic enough? And then if they're athletic enough now, are they aware enough? Do they have some football intelligence as far as trying to accomplish a game plan and a blocking scheme and when things change? So it all starts with the being physical, though.
Coach Kelly mentioned that probably going to play with more tempo, going a little bit faster out there. Does that make your job harder to coach these guys? And does it change anything that you're going to do, blocking schemes? Anything like that?
No, nothing will change that way. That's just different styles. We've done that since I've been here, different phases and different times in the game, and I don't see that really as being any different. I think there may be a little more emphasis on moving quicker. I think coaches charge Chip with maybe shortening some of our calls and streamlining some things that will just allow us to move at a little quicker pace. But no, that doesn't affect our guys at all. The fundamentals that they've got to accomplish, no matter what speed we're moving at, they got to be sound fundamentally.
Does it change how you recruit players and look at players? Is it the same? You're still looking for the same player. It's just you're moving faster.
Yeah, it doesn't affect that at all. Yeah, mm-hmm. Not at all. And again, the football is a game of movement, you know, and you got to be able to move. So you're going to move at different tempos depending on what the offense is asking for. So it's just a matter of if we're going to move quicker than we moved last year, then we'll practice that way and we'll play that way and it'll be how we go. So whatever it is, they adapt to it fast.
Last question for me. Have you talked to the players, you know, the guys recruited and committed now? Have you kind of said, this is where we're going to start you out at? This is where we think you're going to start out? Have you given them some idea as far as position goes right now?
No, we've been very general with that. We'll see how it goes through. With the two guys that are here, we're obviously going to have to insert them at a spot once we get going. But I haven't had a chance to get on the field with them yet. I've watched them, you know, run around a little bit. But yeah, there's been no coaching yet. So once we start coaching them and once we start get them prepared for spring and in the off-season drill work that we're allowed to do, then I'll start to be able to make some thoughts and talk to coach about, hey, we see this guy fitting in the spot.
All right. Thanks a lot, Harry.
Okay,
appreciate
you're
it.
Welcome.
Take care.
Yep.
All right, folks, we're back here with Irish offensive coordinator Chip Long. Chip, you are a tight end guy. You've got obviously two fantastic tight ends in this class. What do you like about their potential?
You know, I love their size and speed. Both of them have great ball skills. Both of them are physically mindsetted kids. The fact that they've been committed for so long tells you their love for this university, and they're going to play extremely hard for you in the fourth quarter when you have that love. So, you know, two very conscientious kids that are, you know, very fast and also 6'5", 250 pounds. So that's exactly what you look for, and the fact they're in the same class is amazing, and I can't tell you how excited I am to have them both.
Avery Davis, you know, a guy who had a lot of success in high school, a winner. What do you like about his game as a quarterback, and is he an ideal fit for what you're looking for?
There's no question. Like you said earlier, he's a winner, and that's what I want. I want our quarterbacks to have a sense of confidence, the way they walk, the way they carry themselves, and he has that it about him. Very accurate passer, very athletic. You know, with our quarterbacks, we want them to be a willing runner, all right? Now, obviously, we want them to win games with their arm, but they got to be able to create and get out of bad plays, and he has that. But, you know, the intangibles are there, and I'm excited to get him on campus and get working with him.
You got two kind of different receivers in Jafar Armstrong and Michael Young. How do you envision them? Do you have an idea where you'd like to use them in the offense?
There's no question. You know, I have an idea, but, you know, we're going to see what kind of traits they have when they transition to college, and they might be able to do certain things that you didn't think they necessarily could have earlier. You know, I've known Michael for a long time, playing at Destrehan in Louisiana, so he's a guy that, you know, I got great confidence in, and I'm extremely excited to have him. Jafar is a little bit bigger guy with elite speed. Both of them can run. Both of them very intelligent. Very conscientious kids, which is great, what you want in a receiver, because we ask them to do quite a bit. But both of them, you know, they have their similarities, but they're also different, which is what you want. You want diversity in a class, especially in tight end receiver, running backs, because you want to be able to show different things with different guys.
One guy I like is C.J. Holmes. You know, he's here already. He's going to have the opportunity to show you what he can do. Great receiver, running back. Is this the exact type of guy you're looking for as well, just being able to do so many different things?
There's no question. He reminds me a lot of the guy when I had at the, you know, one of the previous universities in D.J. Foster, a guy that you can go out there and win one-on-one at receiver and then come in and play back in the goal line and be able to find a way to get it in there. But, you know, once again, another guy who can do a lot of things and do them well, you know. And, you know, he being a freshman here already, which is great, being in the weight room, you know, where everything's just not brand new to him, I think it's going to help him tremendously, and expect him to get out there and compete.
What do you believe is the secret to successful recruiting? What makes you a great recruiter?
Just relationships. Just absolutely every single day, and be a tireless worker. I mean, you got to get out there and pound the pavement and build those relationships for those kids for maybe 2 to 3 years. And but doing your due diligence and, you know, finding that key person, whoever might be the champion of that family that's going to help with that decision and, you know, and be relentless.
Last question for me. Obviously, you had some talent to work with at Memphis and certainly some at Arizona State. But when you look at Notre Dame's talent that you got coming back, you know, obviously Wimbush is a very talented kid and great running backs, receivers. How excited are you to be able to work with these guys and know that, man, I've got a really talented offense coming back this season?
You know, I'm very excited, and I think as good as we are at skill, I think I'm really excited about our offensive line. The way those guys work, go about their business. You know, I fortunately haven't had a chance to coach guys with this size and length and mentality that they have. And so I think that's going to be a great asset to this offense and a great asset to our young quarterbacks moving forward, being able to just hand the ball off, take things out of their hands and a little pressure off of them until they grow in the offense. And, you know, skill-wise, we have some big, pretty receivers who can run. And but it's like anything, it's a process. They're going to have to get out there and prove it and compete. And that's what they're learning in the weight room each and every day, that, you know, there is no jobs. Everybody has a clean slate. So I want the guys who are going to be in there to compete, who we can rely on and trust, and go out and execute the offense in a timely fashion.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, we're back here with running backs coach Autry Denson. Autry, the only one back signed in C.J. Holmes. How much does he remind you of another C.J. that you coached here recently in C.J. Pro Size?
Very much so, man. A big guy, fast, you know, a lot of position versatility, and it helps that his name is C.J.
No question. What do you like most about his game? What is the thing that stood out to you when you were watching film that you said, "God, we got to get this guy"?
Well, on film, what you see is his passion. You see that he is the most dominant player on the field and that he's enjoying himself while he's doing it. When I was able to work with him and get him here now, it was 100% the way he responded to every situation he put him in. That day, too, at Irish Invasion, I would argue that CJ was also the most dominant player. So you see that consistency in his game. You see the passion. You see his desire, his level of compete and want to. I mean, it's hard not to fall in love with a guy like that.
You recruit, obviously, different types of players. Is there, bigger back, smaller back? What are you looking for when you're out there and you're trying to evaluate players? What's the things that stand out to you that, you know, you're like, I gotta find this guy?
You know what, for me, a lot, it's that wow factor. I'm looking for that guy that, you know, that I can't stop watching on film. I'm looking for that guy that I'm looking forward to talking to all the time because he just has it. You know, so a lot of it is trusting my gut, trusting my experiences, and just I'm looking for that wow factor, you know?
What's the ideal number for you each year? Would you like to get two backs each year? And I mean, what's an ideal number roster-wise? Because sometimes it seems like you don't have as many backs as you need.
You know what? I have no idea. I have never been asked that question. I have no idea what an ideal number is. Mm-hmm. I tell you this, man, is whoever's in that room, we're going to line up and we're going to be ready to play. Whether it's five, whether it's one, we're going to be ready to tote the mail every time they give it to us.
Last year, obviously, Josh Adams was a starter, but then we started seeing guys like Dexter mm-hmm. really start to push and start to make some plays. How do you keep that competitive and let those guys know that, hey, you know, anybody has a shot at this point?
By simply letting them know that anybody has a shot at this point, and that's what it is. And our room is very much understood. I just tell my guys the truth, I mean, all the time. Like, CJ understands that he's coming in this year, and I told CJ, you know what will happen next year? CJ, I'm going to try to get a guy that's so much better than you that you have to be forced to work. So they understand now that it's about the power of the unit. And so from that standpoint, I have an obligation to them to continue to push that thing forward by getting the very best players. And if that's two a year, if that's three, we don't worry about the numbers. Again, their mentality has to be, I'm the guy. I don't care about how many guys you have in there. I'm the guy. And if they don't have that mentality, I mean, they won't fit in that room. So every one of those guys, if you ask them, they're the starting running back now.
I remember talking to you last year at this time, and we talked about fumbles. You obviously did a great job with that. You said one thing that you were looking for is better blitz pickup. I think you guys mm-hmm. did a better job with that. Coach Kelly mentioned, hey, we want to get him involved in the passing game. Is that the next step for your running backs this year, is to get more involved in the passing game?
Okay, as Coach Kelly said, I guess so then. I thought we did a pretty good job in the passing game, but newsflash. So.
Yeah.
No, really, man, it is. It is really just trying to get those guys to dominate. I mean, I really believe in that. I mean, we don't want to play games. We just don't. I mean, I absolutely hate the fact that we don't want to play games. We want to dominate in every facet of the game. If it's blitz pickup, if it's running, whatever we're called to do, we want to be the best at it, and we're always working for that. That is our mindset as a unit. Collectively, that's the mindset I have. That's the mindset those guys have. So if we aren't dominating in an area, then it's a problem for us.
Last question for me. What do you think makes you a great recruiter? Because you've had a lot of success. Why do you think you're so successful?
Man, I'm just blessed. You know what? I'm not a great recruiter. You know what? I don't go in. I just love relationships, and I really have a desire, you know, for me coaching this ministry. So I'm not going in. I'm not recruiting. I'm just, you know, sincerely caring about these guys. And I'm not necessarily recruiting a guy when I go in for Notre Dame. I'm just want to be a resource to them. And so I know they feel the sincerity, but, man, I'm just blessed. I'm not a great recruiter. I'm just – I have a huge desire just to help young people succeed.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, folks, we're back here with Todd Light, Notre Dame's defensive backs coach. Todd, obviously a corner didn't quite work out like you hoped, but you did get two quality safeties. Can you talk about what you like about both of those guys?
Yeah, you know, Isaiah Robertson out of Chicago, very talented athlete, long, rangy, smart football player, great hand-eye coordination, great ball skills, excels on both sides of the ball. Really, really love his athleticism and his ability to make plays on the ball. George Jenmarkeith out of San Diego, again, another strong, powerful athlete, huge potential because he's only played high school football for 4 years. And, you know, I think that this is a guy that can make an impact for us on special teams, you know, with his ability to get ball carriers on the ground. When you watch his tape, his ability to hit and knock ball carriers back are tremendous. And I really love his power in his game.
Where do you think they're going to slot when it's all said and done? Where do you see Isaiah? Where do you see
you know what? Jordan? With Isaiah's range and his athleticism and his ball skills, I see him at the free safety spot. With Jordan Jenmarkeith, I really see him playing strong safety and rover with his strength and power and his ability to get ball carries on the ground and set edges.
Okay. Obviously, with corner, that's going to be an issue next year. Mm-hmm. Do you think because you took so many last year, it was tough, harder
yeah,
for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the kids are looking at the rosters, and they're trying to figure out who they're going to compete against and who's in front of them. And, you know, the guys are all on top of that. But what you really want when you're recruiting a high school player is you're looking for that ultra competitor who doesn't care who's on the roster. The guy who's going to come in and be like, when I was talking to Mike Stonebreaker the other day, he was like, listen, I'm going to start. And everybody else is going to back me up. And that's the mindset that you have to have as a young competitor. But everybody's not like a Michael Stonebreaker. You know what I mean? But you're trying to find those guys. But I think that, you know, not taking any corners in this class is going to really open it up and be very advantageous for us as we go out and recruit the corners of the 2018 class.
Will you need four? Or how many do you think you'll
need?
We're
going to need at least three.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to need at least three. That'll be the magic number for us going into the 2018 class. And obviously, we're already on them. And there's some guys that we've already designated as our top guys, and we're going after them, and we're going to get them.
You mentioned when we did this interview last year, you were really excited about the talent of guys coming in. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they're freshmen. They're starting for the first time.
Yes.
A few growing pains, but they certainly really started to play better. Were you even a little bit surprised at how well they started to play towards the end of the year?
You know what? I knew it was just a matter about them gaining confidence. I knew they had the skill set and the athleticism to do it. But, you know, getting out there, learning the scheme, and then obviously – going out there and doing it with a high level of confidence. That was the whole key for them. Once they gained the confidence, I knew that they were going to be fine. But guys like Devin Studd still, Julian Love, they came on really, really strong. Dante Vaughn, I was really, really proud of his work ethic and his ability to go out there and play with a lot, high level of confidence. Troy Pride did a good job, but, you know, there's still some growing pains with all young players. And, you know, I think that with all the time that they got on the field, will really help them moving into this season. I think that this season they're going to play with a lot more confidence right from the start, and they'll make a huge impact for us defensively.
It sounds like things are going to be a little jumbled as well.
Right.
You talked about possibly moving Jalen Elliott to free safety.
Yes.
Devin Studd still is strong.
Right.
What happens with guys like DJ Morgan, Spencer Perry? Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to play.
Yeah.
You know, Drew Tranquil's going to play strong safety. Spencer Perry's going to play strong safety. DJ Morgan's going to play strong safety. Jordan Jenmarkeith's going to play strong safety. Nico Vetita's going to play free safety. You know, Jalen Elliott's going to play free safety. We might move Nick Coleman back to free safety. Ashton White, we're going to try free safety. And we're going to put everybody out there and see what type of impact they can make and, you know, how they can affect our team in a positive way. And we want to see what guys can do because, you know, we lock guys into certain positions. I think with Coach Elko coming in with a, you know, wide open mind, it's going to be a free-for-all in the back end to see who we can put in to give us our best five.
When we talked last year, you and I, we talked about recruiting really for the first time for
right.
you. It's something that was new. What was surprised you about recruiting? And then what do you think you need to do to be a better recruiter?
You know the thing about recruiting is it's very funny because, you know, there's some kids that know exactly what they want, you know, which I would say 30% of them know exactly what they want, and then the other 70% have no idea what they want. But for each kid, there's critical factors, whether it's proximity to home, their favorite school, you know, success of a program,
playing time,
tradition, playing time, their relationship with the head coach, their relationship with the position coach. There's all these different critical factors for each and every player. So you have to find out what the critical factors for each player is and kind of hone in on that and just show them why that the University of Notre Dame is the best for them. And, you know, sometimes it's not a really good fit. You know, we'll get guys on campus, and we had a young man from the state of Arizona who just had never been in the cold before, and it was snowing, and that was not a good look for him, and he couldn't see himself being here because of weather. That's a critical factor for him. And so, you know, for a guy like myself or maybe you, weather wouldn't be a factor in picking a school, but for some it is. And so you just have to figure out what's important for a guy, and then make sure that you hit on all those points that are important for him and show him and show him and show him and show him. That's the toughest part of it. It's just trying to find out what all the critical factors are for each student athlete.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you.
Good luck. Yep. All right, everybody. We're back here with Irish linebackers coach Clark Lee. Clark, you had a lot of success with some guys at Syracuse that weren't necessarily four-star players. You know, they were very productive. How do you get guys to be productive players when they may not have the athleticism as some of the players you have here?
Well, I think those kids in particular were really good football players. And, you know, whatever makes someone a four-star or five-star, sometimes those aren't the most critical factors. And so I may have found a guy that didn't quite have the 40 time to put him in an elite category, but I knew he was going to get faster, or maybe didn't quite have a frame of 6'4", but, you know, he was a physical player that could dominate the box. I mean, being a good linebacker, sometimes those fringe statistics aren't really as important as what is his movement efficiency, his ability to finish, and his hunger to be great. I mean, those are traits that you can take a two-star kid on, and he's going to will himself into being a player. And so that would answer that. I mean, I honestly, even here, that the how a recruit's rated will not necessarily weigh into the decision as much as, you know, what are the skills he possesses, what kind of teammate is he, how's he going to impact the people around him, and is he a great fit for us?
When you're looking at tape and you're trying to find guys, what's the most important thing you're looking for in a linebacker?
You know, I think that the positions recruit a little different skill sets, and so, you know, maybe if not getting specifically into what those things are. What I want to see down in, down out is an energy level in the field. I mean, I want to see a guy that is celebrating big plays and is with his teammates, you know, and is infectious in that manner. And you can tell pretty quickly whether a guy really loves to be on the field. And, you know, there's also this component of being a communicator, and I think that's not natural for a lot of people. But if you see a guy pointing and talking and communicating to his teammates, not only does that show the ability to do that, it also kind of alerts you to that this guy's done his homework heading into the game. And so, you know, you get excited about what kind of worker he is away from the field. And I think finally, just an effort. You know, I want to see guys chasing the ball down from behind and, you know, making the play on the 3-yard line where you're just believing in your defense to get one more chance to make a stop. And so rather than let a guy score, you're going to make the tackle, make the finish, and know that you're going to go out there and get the stop the next snap.
Drew White, David Adams, you know, obviously two guys that like to hit, very physical players. Do you envision them both as Mike? Do you think either has, you know, position flexibility at this point?
They both have flexibility. Going into it, David will start as a Mike linebacker and Drew will start as a Buck. And then, you know, we'll train them to understand both, because those two positions are tied together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll just develop them with – it helps when you have a conceptual understanding. And so for the Mike to know what the Buck does and the Buck to know what the Mike does, not only does that protect you when injury arises, which it always does, but it also allows you to play your spot more effectively because you know how the parts and pieces fit together.
Moving forward, I mean, what are you looking for, I guess, in position when you look at the roster? What do you think in 2018 you're going to have to focus on? What type of backers?
Well, we're going to recruit guys to play each of the positions, and you know, I don't know enough about what is here right now to talk specifically about where the needs are. That's something that'll kind of flesh itself out in the next month. But I can tell you this: we're going to be recruiting athletic, dynamic hitters, you know, and guys that can play physically at the line of scrimmage, and I don't care which position they're playing, those traits will never change. So, you know, it'll be fun to get out and have a full, you know, cycle to recruit players to play in this scheme.
You know, I was listening to the interview before, and, you know, Jameer Jones is a guy that a lot of people were excited about playing in more of a Sam Backer situation. Does his role change? Does he now become a different player? Where do you envision him?
Can't really speak to the role that he played here before, but can say that I'm really excited to find his fit for us. And I think it could be multiple places, to be honest. I had him in camp when I was at Syracuse and really enjoyed working with him and saw, you know, a lot of untapped potential and a lot of growth that was going to be had. And so I think it just in watching him early here, I've seen the athleticism that I saw back in camp. I've seen a significant growth physically. And so, you know, as a linebacker coach, you get excited because that kid can do a lot of things for you.
Coming into, you know, your first year coaching, obviously you have some guys that are experienced. How much does your job become easier having a guy like Niles Morgan with the athleticism? And how good could he be for his final season, do you think?
Well, to have senior leadership in the room, good senior leadership too, and I know that's what we have here, you can't ask for more as a coach. And my job is to give Niles and Greer things to work on that improve their games, to take their games just to another level so they stay hungry and they stay challenged and they feel like they're growing in this process too. But I will lean on those seniors a ton to not only to help me keep a pulse in the room and to get to know the personalities in the room, but also to make sure that we're steering the ship in the right direction. And their buy-in and their excitement in what we're going to do and the process we're going to undertake is going to be critical to our success as a unit.
You haven't been here long. Have you had a chance to really sit down and talk to any of the current players and kind of, you know, get a feel for them?
They have hunted me down.
Yeah.
And these guys are hungry. They're anxious to start a relationship. I was able to reach out to most of them on the phone as I was on the road recruiting, and it started there, and kind of shared my vision and my reasons for coming here and making sure that was a shared vision, and it was. And so since I've been back, be it on Sunday or Saturdays or whatever, they inevitably will poke in and sit down, and those visits range from family backgrounds and getting to know you up to guys that have demanded to want to know a little bit of the scheme and what they're going to be asked to do. And as a coach, you just can't ask for much more. I mean, you want guys to be excited when they're in the building. You want guys to be eager to learn and grow. And it seems to me that's what we have here. And so my job is just to get those guys pointed in the right direction and have fun alongside them put on the field a product that the Notre Dame fans are going to be proud of.
All right, folks, that was once again Clark Lee, the Notre Dame's linebacker coach. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, folks, we're back here with defensive coordinator Mike Elko. Mike, let's talk a little bit about this class because obviously you haven't been here for a long time. They had guys committed. How do these guys that they are in your class now, how do they fit in what you want to do defensively?
Yeah,
is it a good fit?
Yeah, we're real excited about this class. I was very pleased with the group that was committed when I got hired. I think we went out and targeted some kids late here and were able to hit some spots that way. And, again, as this day goes on, I think hopefully we'll add a few more.
When you look at some of the guys that are committed, safety is a position that you're going to help coach. Talk about those two guys and maybe some of their potential, because I think they're probably two of the better players in the class.
Yeah, Jordan Jenmar Keith was one of the first kids we targeted when I got hired. Got to know him and his family, was real excited about the kind of kid he was. And he's a kid that's a really dynamic football player for his size. He can run exceptionally well. He's a very big hitter, can do a lot of the things that we're asking our safeties to do. And then Isaiah, already being on campus, is in the weight room. Got a chance to spend some time with him the other day. And a neat young man, extremely mature, knows how to handle his business, has a tremendous skill set. It's got a lot of length and size and, played so many different positions in high school that it's got a lot of upside to develop and grow.
You got some defensive linemen in this class. But you have a lot already on the roster. They probably don't need to play right away. But what do you like about the makeup of both those two players and Hinnish and Darnell Yule?
Yeah, there's never such thing as too many D-linemen, right? D-line runs the game, and your ability to control the line of scrimmage, stop the run, and pressure the quarterback is everything nowadays. And You know, so anytime you can add kids like Kurt Heinisch and Darnell Yule to that mix, you're going to give them every opportunity to come in and be ready to go right away.
You also have a lot of guys that are currently on the roster, guys like Drew Tranquil, DJ Morgan, Spencer Perry. Do you think that they're more better fits for maybe the Rover type of situation, or do you think they'll stay more strong safety, or has any of that been decided at this point?
Yeah, no decisions have been made. I think we've got to give these kids a chance to get out and play for us and play in our system and try to figure out who fits where. I think the biggest challenge and the biggest goal is to make sure we've got the best 11 guys on the field, and so there's some flexibility with where guys go.
Obviously, 218 is the focus now moving forward, but they've obviously evaluated a lot of guys, but they weren't guys that fit your system. You're kind of behind at this point, I guess, in doing that. How do you guys get caught up and get rolling on 218 recruiting?
Work.
Yeah.
You know, the only way you get caught up to anything is you work. And, mm-hmm. and so we're going to grind to make sure that we get caught up with that group. We've already started that process. That process started as quick as the 17 finish started. And then we've just got to continue to work through that and make sure that we get our evaluations done and figure out who we think are good fits for us.
The defensive units had a lot of changes, you know, coaching changes, that type of stuff, scheme, everything. How do you, you know, a 4-8 season, how do you get them mentally focused to get back to playing up to their ability?
Yeah, I think it starts with them. There's a tremendous amount of excitement around this program right now. I think the kids are very eager to prove that that's not who they are, and maybe what was on the field last year isn't who they are. You know, and then it's our job to present a clear vision of where we want this thing to go moving forward and make sure we're all following it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're back here with wide receivers coach Dell Alexander. Dell, last class I got some pretty good size. I needed some speed in this class with Michael Young, Jafar Armstrong. Do you think you accomplished that in their talents?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think each year you want to make sure that you are diverse in the body types and diverse in the type of players that you recruit. And I think that these guys were a change up from last year.
Do you think, do you have any idea where you may slot them, you know, come fall and where they may line up at this point?
Right. No, not yet. I don't want to, you know, start there, and they haven't taken a rep yet. But what we told those guys is that, you know, running a lot of plays and the type of offense that we run, you know, they need to be smart and they need to understand that they could be anywhere.
Do you see these two as more developmental guys who got to be in the system a little bit more, or do you think both of them have a chance to, or one of them have a chance to get on the field right away?
Right. These guys are physically ready. They come from great programs. I think the Destrahan there, where Mike went to high school, they do some of the things that we've done. They visited with us, you know, when we were at Arizona State. So they're very familiar with the offense. And Jafar, you know, obviously being smart, you know, as smart as he is and physically gifted, there's no problem playing early.
I'm sure you've had a chance to kind of look at some of the talent on hand. Anybody stand out to you? There's obviously some talented players here.
Right. Well, it starts with the production. So Equinemius has obviously, you know, been productive here, close to 1,000 yards. The other guys have taken the field and kind of, you know, had some opportunities, but they could easily be like he was, you know, from almost nothing to quite a bit. So I'm just looking forward to seeing exactly who they are in spring practice.
When you look at a guy like Chase Claypool, a real raw player, can play a lot of different positions, how important is it to keep him in your group?
Well, it's critical. You know, I don't have a lot of bodies, you know, and I know that he's very talented. So he has to stay in our room, and we've got to use him, and that's our expectation. And I know that's what he's anticipating. So I'm full steam ahead with teaching him and making sure he's ready.
One guy we don't hear a lot about is Deion McIntosh. He can play wide receiver, play some running back. Do you expect him to be in your room as well?
Yes, he is in my meeting room. We're working closely together and trying to get him to understand or to get a feel for him, where he is. I know he's done multiple things, but really trying to see exactly where he is and where the starting point will be for him.
Moving forward to 218, have you kind of sat down and thought, okay, I need probably a couple receivers and what they may look like? Are you looking for more speed, more big bodies?
Right.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for the total package. I'm looking for the best of the best. I'm looking for a guy that can, if I can line him up and put the ball in his hands, then he can be an impact. And that's exactly where it is. You know, it's about getting the best players here at Notre Dame that fit, you know, the standard here. And that's what I'm looking for.
Thanks again, Coach. We appreciate it.